How about we read the main title and then the subtitle, and then we'll have the sisters read Roman numerals 1 and the brothers Roman numerals 2. How about that? Okay. Effective gospel preaching and shepherding on college campuses. The all-inclusive shepherding needed to present every man full-grown in Christ. Sisters. Amen. Brothers. Amen. Amen. How about we open up your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Okay. Chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Okay. Here Paul says, I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ, right? On my part, sorry, that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you to complete the word of God. Then he goes on and says, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations and has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man and all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ, for which also I labor, struggling according to his operation, which operates in me in power. Here, In Roman numeral 1, it says, to shepherd people, we need to follow Paul's pattern of being a faithful minister according to the stewardship of God, laboring to present every man full-grown in Christ. We know that a steward is a household administrator. It's from the same Greek word that means economy. And this person had a particular function in a great house, and that is to determine from all the riches of the household how to dispense them into all the members of that household. And for what purpose? For the purpose of their satisfaction, for their care, for their protection, for their education, for their growth, right? It was quite a responsibility to always be concerned with the members of the house getting the supply. This was his responsibility. And Paul said he was a steward, you know, a steward. And as a steward, he was there to dispense and to impart and to minister all these riches into God's people, which were the church. You see, that was his responsibility. And, you know, Paul is our pattern. And I'd like to share a few verses with you in the book of Thessalonians, if you could turn to Thessalonians. And I like to say this because here we are, college students, right? And we're on college campuses. And you may say, well, that's Paul, but that's not me. But we have to realize that we're all ministers and we're all stewards of the grace of God. We're all stewards, right? Okay, so here, if you look at Thessalonians, and Thessalonians chapter 1, First Thessalonians, sorry. Paul said in verse 5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, even as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." This means that Paul's concern wasn't that they just got saved, or they just received forgiveness of their sins, or they just were not going to go to the lake of fire, but he had a concern for them. So he says, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and in joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a pattern to all those who believe in Macedonia and Achaia." So here it says, the proper shepherding is our cooperation with God and caring for people. And it is a progressive, continue, and gradual process according to Christ's operation in power. This means that after people get saved, and we had a message concerning twos and threes, right? And in the twos and threes, we come together, we pray, we have lists, we pray for these ones, and we see them get saved through our prayer, through our coordination. But what about after they get saved? And was our desire for them to get saved, did it stop there? Or was there a concern when we were coming together in twos and threes is how they are going to go on? Because, you know, here, Paul's desire is to present every man full grown in Christ. You see? To be full grown, obviously, is not like an infant, right? An infant is partially, it just has life. But that life is not, I would say, complete. It lacks something. So here, let's go on here to chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9. Chapter 2. Thessalonians says, yearning in this way over you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you became beloved to us, right? And in chapter 3, Paul says, "For what things can we return to God concerning you for all the joy with we rejoice because of you before our God, night and day petitioning exceedingly, so that we may see your face and complete the things lacking in your faith." This means that when a person gets saved, they have received eternal life. They've received the Lord, right? They are born again. They're born of God. They have the divine life, the divine nature in them, but they're still lacking. They still lack many things. So we need to have the concern for the new converts to do what? To have something added to them, day by day, gradually, something more, so they can become full grown. Even this training is to add something to us, day by day, little by little, so that we can grow up. Right? We need to grow. We need to be fully complete. So here it says, The progressive, continue, and gradual process according to Christ's operation in power. So in our twos and threes, we need to pray for these ones who just got saved. Has anyone in your groups, let's say in your campus, has anyone gotten saved this year? Okay, praise the Lord. Are they still going on? See, we have to have this concern that they will go on. You know, and then here in letter B it says, "The goal of our shepherding is to minister Christ to men that they might become perfect, full in quality and complete, full in quantity, by maturing with Christ unto full growth." So, okay, as a parent, when you have a child, You know your child has your life and there's a little baby, but is it complete yet? You see, what about the quality? What is the quality? And what's the difference between the quality and the quantity? By quality, we're talking about the nature, the attribute of what it is. And the quantity means there needs to be much more of it for its expression. My child has my life and my nature. If you look at my children, they have my life and my nature, but they don't have enough of it to express me, right? So there's a need to add something more. Gradual, day by day, they just need something more. So you know what my wife does? Let me get some water here, sorry. My wife is very busy every day. Every day, she gets up in the morning and she makes breakfast. And every day, she cooks. And every day, she takes care of them. Why? So they can grow. She also educates them. She also trains them. So that, you know, you don't just give a baby food. You also train it. You also give it some education so that its actual attribute can be developed even further. You know, we as human beings are born with human virtues. We have a certain quality to our life. That needs to grow and to be developed. And the same point, as little children, they need more quantity so they can be full grown for their expression. So, for this to happen, I will tell you a few practical things, and that is, if you look at 1 Peter... In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, at verse 2, as newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. I will tell you something. When you have a newborn babe, the most important thing, after someone gets saved, just like a newborn babe, the most important thing is their taste buds. They have to taste the milk. You see? Because in order for them to long for it, they have to taste it. You see? So we need to taste the Lord. We need to help the new believers taste the Lord so that they can, what? Long for the guileless milk of the Word. So in our experience... like for example, recently there was a student that was with us from France. He got saved and he got baptized, but what else do we do with him? Well, we had to give him the word, then we had to help him to read the word, help him to enjoy the word, so that he can begin to long for the milk of the word. Because how does he grow? By the milk of the word. So I would just say this, after people get saved, we need to cooperate and coordinate in our twos and threes to help them to grow. Help them to be perfected. You could say you could help them by helping them to read the Bible. You can help them to pray. Help them to pray read. Help them to sing. Help them to enjoy the Lord, to praise the Lord, to pray to Him, to confess. There's so many things that we need to help new converts to for their progressive growth. And so we should be concerned for this. If someone gets saved right away, we should be concerned, how are they going to go on? What is the next step? How are they going to go? Lord, and then for this, we need to pray. Lord, you know, how about this person? What do they need? And we need to fellowship with our twos and threes. How about this person? So that they can grow and they can develop. So this is really, in this message, we need to render some all-inclusive, tender care. We need to have some concern for the new converts. And even while we're having this training, we have some young, newly saved believers, and we are still carrying out the shepherding of them. We're still concerned for them. We haven't dropped them. Even while we're having this training right now, There is home meetings going on. There's things going on to still take care of the newer ones. Like, we had a lot of freshmen this year, and a lot of them are coming to a particular home meeting tonight. And so all the ones in the home meeting are coordinating, are praying. Why? To see what to do next. What to do next. What to do next. You see? Have you ever considered what does it take to gain a person for the Lord? You know, Paul says, you became imitators of us. Then he says, and of the Lord. When people get saved, who do they first look at? They see you. And what do they first imitate to you? What do you do? Well, I read the Bible. I pray. I come together in twos and threes. I go to home meetings, right? I also preach the gospel. I also care for others. They become imitators of us. And as they begin to become imitators of us, what do? We are ones following the Lord. We are the ones imitating the Lord. We are the ones pursuing the Lord, and they should be exactly what we are. So we need to help the new believers to go on in the divine life. And, you know, growth in life is a constant imparting, constant adding more and adding more and adding more. And when we spend time with the converts, we should be concerned to add more Christ to them. We pray so that we can add more Christ to them. We go visit so we can add more Christ to them. Right? We shepherd to add more Christ to them because we have the concern for their growth. And like Paul did, Paul was concerned for what was lacking. You know, we're lacking, aren't we? You know, Brother Bill said that we're our learners. You know, because we're lacking. We need more. Well, how about these newly saved ones that we just got saved, that our small group prayed for it, they got saved, they need to go on too. So, praise the Lord. Don't feel that you have to do everything. Maybe just two. Let's say you have like two ones, two you're caring for. Maybe these two, you just be concerned about their growth. Okay, maybe you're concerned that they need to be baptized. Maybe you're concerned that they need to meet some of the other couples in the church. Right? In my experience, every person that I've labored on knows all the leading brothers, they know all the couples, and they know all the saints. That's my practice. They know who I know. They spend time with who I spend time with. Right? And eventually, they become like me. They become in the center of the church life. And this, we should not labor on ones away, so far away, but we should have the view that we want them in the church life. We want them with the saints. So consider how you're caring for them. And for this, it says that we wrestle according to God's operation that operates us in power. I was a wrestler. I grew up as a wrestler. You see, to wrestle is not an easy thing. You know, it takes quite a bit of effort to cooperate with God's operation. We have to deal with ourselves. We have to unload ourselves to pray. Lord, I'm open to you. I'm one with you with your concern for this young man or this young lady. So for this, I need you. I need to be supplied by you so that I can comfort their hearts. I can shepherd them. You know, a lot of shepherding is comforting the hearts and to help them be encouraged. And a nursing mother cherishes and nourishes. Exhorting father is what? He admonishes and he consoles. We need to be able not only to cherish them and nourish them, we need to also be able to admonish and console them. There's so many situations among young people and so many things about our friends. And I want to say this before I sit down. We need to be a pattern. On campus, let me tell you, a good pattern is not a person who is loose in their studies. A good pattern is not a person who complains about the professor. Who has ever in here complained about professor? Okay. You know, we should be those who, we don't complain because we are those who enjoy the Lord. We have Christ. And we go to all of our classes. We're very diligent in our studies. You see? All the students, and I will tell you, all the ones who have gotten saved among us recently, all the really good students are watching the way we are as students. You see, they become pattern. Even some of us, we're so good that many students start coming to us and being around us. And several told me, he says, you know why I like to be around you? He goes, because you're around good people. They're very good students. This is attractive to them. But not only are we just good students, we also are good enjoyers of Christ. We enjoy the Lord. We love the Lord. And so through our example, our pattern, people get gained by us. They become patterns. You know, we love the Lord. We don't complain. We go to class. We do really well in school. We also enjoy Christ. We love the Lord Jesus. And in a footnote in Thessalonians, Broly puts there that all the ones who live an upright life and also have a real heart of love toward people, this is a prerequisite for the gospel. We should be proper in our life in front of all the students. And then we should be full of love for them. This is a prerequisite to minister Christ to them and to bring them to full salvation. I just want to say this much, and then Marty, because we have something to do after this session.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like to continue what Robbie's sharing. You know, the Christian life is just it's the reality of the shadow, right? What is the shadow? The shadow is a human life. So like Robbie mentioned, the human life starts out with little children, and little children need to grow. And eventually, over many, many years, over a long period of time, they become mature. Right, so the goal, the Lord's goal in the shepherding is that eventually we could present every man full grown in Christ. So I'm wondering this morning, how many of you have your sheet with you? Let's take a real quick run through this book of Colossians again. You know, it's good to learn to read in different ways. Sometimes you can read the book of Colossians and just look for Christ, that's all. Sometimes you can read the book of Colossians and just look for how you should experience Christ. Like this morning, setting your mind on the things above. Okay, well, here's another way to read the book of Colossians. Let's look at Colossians in the way of shepherding, a way of Paul being a pattern. Okay, so we're just going to run real quick. If you got yours, you might want to... You can. I know there's other ways to read this book, but I circled a number of these words. Okay, look at verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. First of all, you got Paul, and later on in that verse, you got and Timothy. So what does that show? Paul didn't labor by himself. Okay, he labored in twos, at least twos. Okay, then look at verse 5. The brothers shared the word of the truth of the gospel. Then verse 6. Who did it come to? Paul said it came to you. The little pronoun you is very significant in the book of Colossians. Paul didn't just say the word of the truth, hallelujah, it came to me. Woo, I love it, I enjoy it, it all came to me. Right? But Paul said it came to you. And guess what? Verse 6 is bearing fruit, it's growing. This word is growing. Then verse 9, here you see something very high. Yesterday the brothers shared with us in the twos and threes, we have a very high calling in that we can cooperate with the Lord by praying, by interceding, right? So look at verse 9. Since the day we heard of it, we do not cease praying and asking for what? On your behalf, right? So Paul was burdened for the saints that they would be brought or be filled with the full knowledge of the Lord's will. Verse 12, Paul gave thanks, right? For what? He was thankful that the Lord, that the Father, qualified you. Right? He didn't say, I'm thankful the Lord qualified me. He said, I'm thankful the Lord qualified you. Right? Then skip down to, look at verse 24. Robbie read this one. Look at the little phrase, I rejoice in my sufferings, look at, on your behalf. Okay, verse 25, Paul had a stewardship, he said it was given to me for you. So, you think about it, here we're learning, we're enjoying, we're discovering the all-inclusive, extensive Christ, and we are being filled, we are enjoying Christ here. What for? Right? You should have a stewardship. Something is being given to you, not only for you, but to you for someone else. Right? To me for you. Then verse 27, Christ in you. Okay? Then verse 28, what was Paul doing? Announcing, admonishing, teaching. And his goal was presenting. He had a desire to present every man, and look at, full grown. He had a burden, not just that people would get saved, but that they would become full grown. So what did he do? Verse 29, I labored. I struggled. Sometimes we think, oh, this is too much. I don't like doing this. This is a struggle. Doesn't seem to be working so well. This person's not responding so well. You know, or seems something is wrong. Maybe it's my partners on my team. Maybe it's their fault. <You know? laughs> It's Kelly's fault, of course. Anyway, Paul's experience was, he labored, he struggled, right? It's healthy. In fact, you know what? I think this is my case, probably yours. You know when you get most depressed? It's when you're just so focused on yourself, right? One of the best ways to get out of yourself and get out of any kind of humdrum is to start to think about someone else, right? And to be burdened for somebody else. Right? So anyway, that's healthy. Okay, look at the next page, chapter 2. Look at verse 1. How great a struggle I have for you. Right? And then again, look at the pronoun. That their hearts may be comforted. You can really see Paul and Timothy really had a heart for the saints. There's a real relationship going on here. Okay? And he wanted to bring them full assurance. He wanted to knit them together. He wanted to bring them unto full knowledge. Right? Then verse 6. He was happy. You have received the Christ. But he's burdened that they would begin to walk. Right? What parent would be so happy to bring their little baby home from the hospital and then a year or two later the baby is still not walking? You know? It'd be sad. Right? So, Paul was burdened. I'm glad you received the Christ. Now I'm burdened that you would begin to walk in Him and that you would be rooted. What gardener would love to have a plant and just plant it in their garden and then just go forget about it? And what happened? The plant never got rooted. Hopefully the roots will go down. And not only that, there would be a building up. Right? And look at verse 7, that you would be established in the faith. So what happens with new ones? It shouldn't be a surprise to us. Doubts come in. I wonder, oh, maybe this was just an emotional experience. Think I'm going to go back to the world. You know, I don't know. What do I really believe? They need to be established in the faith. They need to know, what do we believe? Right? So then, even not only that, you know, a shepherd also not only feeds and cares, but also protects. Look at verse 8. Paul's warning them, beware, don't let someone carry you off as spoil. Watch out, like the brothers have been sharing with us here the last couple of days, watch out for all these philosophies. Don't be deceived by the things in the world. It's just empty. It's deceitful. Don't be carried away by, oh, this is not the same as the tradition that your parents went through. I'm sure some of you are encountering some persecution or opposition or just at least misunderstanding, even from your own parents, because you're not following the traditional way. Right? So, anyway, look at verse 16. Paul, again, he's warning. You know, back in chapter 1, verse 28, he said he announced, he admonished. Paul does a lot of an admonishing. Right? Look at verse 16. Don't let anybody judge you. Right? Verse 18. Let no one defraud you. Paul is just beside himself, not only for his own growth, his own pursuing, his own enjoyment, but he was burdened for the saints, for the new ones, for the ones growing up, that they would reach the goal of maturity. Right? And then verse 19. Look at there, the word grows again. Even the body grows with the growth of God. Okay, then look at all these admonishing words in verse chapter 3. Verse 1, seek. Verse 2, set your mind. Verse 9, put off. Verse 10, put on. Verse 15, let the word, or let the peace. 16, let the word. 17, do all things. So you can see Paul, like Robbie's saying, concerning his wife, training the children. Paul was admonishing, caring for these ones, guarding them, protecting them, telling them, warning them, watch out, don't get involved with this. You know, grow up, set your mind. You know, he was really caring for his children. Look at verse chapter 4. Persevere in prayer, watching, praying. Verse 5, walk, encouraging the saints, redeem your time. Then what's really interesting, the last verse we have, at least on the sheet here, verse 12. Look at this. Here's another brother, Epaphras. Guess what he's doing? Same thing Paul's doing, right? He said, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. That you, what for? That you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. Anyway, I enjoyed, maybe, you know, this was not thorough, but maybe you could go back again, look to see how this took place. Anyway, we need to shepherd ones progressively. That means there should be an advancing going on continually, not erratic, not, oh, last month I got someone say that, have you seen him since? Oh, I forgot his name. You know, or you go to a prayer meeting, you get all stirred up. Oh, yeah, we got to be burdened for people, and they go and pour a gallon of water on them and drink, right? And then you forget about them, and you don't go see them for 3 more weeks, right? That's erratic. No, we need continual, and realize it needs to be gradual over time. It's going to take a long time. Okay, so Roman numeral 2, I really like this, says we need to pay attention to the inward condition of their heart and the progress of their growth in life. That means we should think about it. We need to have our minds set on the things above. But while we're doing that, we're caring for the Lord's things, which happen to be people on the earth, right? And so if Peter is here and I'm shepherding him, I should have some thought about, how's he doing? What's going on in his life? Right? Where is he at? Is he enjoying Christ? I wonder if he reads the Bible. I wonder if he knows how to call on the Lord. I wonder, even more basic than that, how's he doing in school? Is he bummed out? Are his parents attacking him? You know, what's happening in his life? We should consider, how come he never smiles? Right? Sorry, not Peter, but somebody else. Anyway, we should consider what's going on in a person's heart. Okay, so on the one hand, we're all growing. On the other hand, we need to think about those around us who are getting saved. Are they growing? Okay, so, hey, cherishing and nourishing people, we must first be concerned about the condition of their heart and ask the Lord. Sometimes there's just nothing you can do. Say Peter is all distracted, you know, for some reason he got totally kind of carried off into something else for a while. I can't do anything about it. I don't feel to say anything at this point. What can I do? Ask the Lord. Just pray. Right? But sometimes we can ask the Lord for the grace to comfort all the distracted, dissatisfied, and disappointed hearts. Okay? Then shepherding people, we must help the young ones to cultivate a personal life with the Lord, as well as providing them with a rich entrance into the body life and the church life. So you can say, well, I'm just learning to cultivate a personal life myself. How can I help anybody else? Well, whatever you're learning, you can bring others into the same learning. Right? If you're learning, well, yesterday I tried, I got 5 minutes. I spent 5 minutes personal time. That's as long as I could go. Well, that's probably better than the person who just got saved. Right? So bring them into learning how to have 5 minute time with the Lord. Right? The other night, Floyd shared with us 10 at 10. I thought that was great. You know, getting others to read the Bible. You don't have to read the whole book in one night. You know, when I first got saved, some brothers helped me. First of all, you know what the very first help I got? Somebody gave me a Bible. Okay? So, new ones. We have new ones. Even do you ever think they might not even have a Bible? Right? Then, the brothers came down to my room in my dorm, helped me learn how to pray in the morning. I didn't even know you're supposed to do that. Okay? How to read the Bible. Okay? These are basic things. Then, rich entrance into the body life means the new ones we're caring for, like Robbie said, you know, they should begin to be brought into a fellowship. They get a little taste for being around the brothers. I loved being around the brothers right from the time I got saved, to eat together, play ball together, you know, do different things. Okay, then, every Christian should have a life that is deeply rooted in Christ, a hidden life before God, of having a personal time with Him in the morning, a regular prayer time in secret, healthy appetite for the Word and the ministry, and immaterial offerings. So there's so many things we are learning, but we should also think about our others learning, right? To have a personal time, to begin to learn how to pray, to begin to learn how to read the Bible, how to get into the ministry, okay? Even these little booklets that have come out, so helpful to get into that. Even to learn how to give, even as a student, to learn how to offer. That's a very good learning. So we should learn, and we should help others learn. Then on the body life side, it says we should shepherd the young ones to establish a healthy habit of fellowshipping with the saints and attending the various church meetings. Okay, then we must be faithful to shepherd every man, take part in a priestly, spiritual and Levitical practical service. You know what Watchman Nee said? If you don't learn how to preach the gospel in the first year that you got saved, you probably will not preach the gospel very much the rest of your Christian life. So we think, oh, wait, this person just got saved. Don't ask him to do that. That's too hard. No, it's not too hard. Actually, the very first meeting I came to when I first moved to Chicago, it was a young people's gathering. There was a bunch of us sitting around in a circle, and it was my first meeting. I mean, I had visited a few times. It was the first meeting after I moved there. We're sitting around. There were a couple brand new people just came in that night to the meeting, and a sister in the meeting said, "Marty, you share with them." I thought, "Share with them what?" But anyway, she got me to open my mouth. I was saved. I could share a little something of my enjoyment of Christ. So we need to help ones to begin to function, to serve, and even practically, like we're doing here this week, learn how to usher, learn how to clean the bathroom, learn how to serve at the dinner, learn in so many practical ways. I think of my granddaughters, you know, they're so little. But you know what? They're learning how to pick up their toys, right? So even at a young age, everyone can learn how to bear some responsibility. Okay, then, of course, look at number two down below. Sorry, I'm out of time. We got to learn how to serve on the campus, in the campus labor, and the church services. Okay, let's just read the focus together. Okay, Here, how about Peter? Could you come up here again quickly? Let's say Peter is a brand new, okay? And let's say this is a run all the way here to full grown to be fully mature. Okay. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
First of all, sometimes this happens. We get with a new person, and he comes. Even he might come to group meeting after group meeting after group meeting, and then once in a while we ask, is he safe? And we all look at each other. Nobody even asked him. Right? So, first, he needs to receive Christ. Actually, this happened to me. I was meeting with brothers for several weeks before one brother asked me, Marty, have you really received Christ? That's how I got saved. I'm glad somebody asked me. Okay. Then he needs to be baptized. Right? Anybody going to ask him? Anybody going to share any verses with him? Tell him what it means, how to be baptized, why to be baptized, the importance. Then he needs to have assurance of his salvation. How do you know today he's saved? You might think that was just a fleeting emotional high. You know, I don't know if I'm saved anymore. I heard I could lose my salvation. He needs assurance. Amen. Who's going to give it to him? Amen. Right? We need to share the verses. Maybe read a little booklet with him. Assure him. You are saved today. You're saved forever.
Amen.
Right? Then what? Who's going to help him be like a newborn babe and begin to take in the guileless milk of the Word? Right? So maybe initially we just feed him, but eventually we want to get him to read the Bible on his own.
Amen.
Right? And then what? We want to introduce to him some little booklets that will really nourish him, something from the ministry. Right? Then what? Okay? Maybe we need to go out with him. Let's go preach the gospel.
Amen.
Right? Tell people how you got saved and how you got baptized and how you got assured of your salvation. Okay? Then what? Okay? Then he needs to what? Keep growing. He needs to be warned. Watch out. You know, here comes one of these professor philosophers. He's going to try and carry you away. Right? So we need to inoculate him. Right? Then he needs to learn how to begin to serve. Right? And go with you to clean the bathroom. Right? And go with you to preach the gospel. Right? And then he needs to maybe start to come to the church meetings. And he needs, oh, we forgot way back here. Does he have a personal time with the Lord? Right? Does he learn to get up in the morning? You know, in the reading, in the book that you can read this later, Brother Lee said, you should ask your new ones, what time do you get up in the morning? Right? No, I'm not asking you now, but. Okay. Anyway, we should keep seeing this person grow and grow and advance. Paul said that your practice these things, and it will be your, what is it? It will be manifest. Your progress will be made manifest.
Amen.
It'll become so obvious. This brother's been having time with the Lord. He's been fellowshipping with the saints. He's been reading the Bible. He's been getting into the ministry. He's been getting with the saints and learning how to serve. And he's going out preaching the gospel. It's just going to become manifest. Wow, he is growing. Okay, anyway, you better stop. See if anybody else has something to share. We'll stop. Sorry, Peter, thanks.